people and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey everybody, it's Shipton Stair, and I want to say one thing. Welcome to the party, pal. But I also want to say something else. You know what bothers me? You know what bugs the hell out of me, you guys? And I want to know if it bugs you as much. I mean, this bothers me more than getting a flat tire or a dead battery. It's coming to work, sitting down, peeling my banana, and it's bruised and soft and gross. I do not like a bruised banana, man. I mean, okay. I'm afraid I'm going to bite into it and find bugs or something, you know? That's just me, or is that a pet peeve of everybody?
I mean, I'd rather have that than the flat tire, but sure. Yeah, I see what you're
really
saying.
Really? I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, I get ready. There's nothing like a good banana. You know, the ones that don't have any flavor, they're no good. The ones that are mushy, they're no good. When you get right consistency, good flavor, a good banana, man, kind of brings the monkey out in you.
Brad, I have this problem with avocados.
So
you go to the store, you think you got the perfect avocado. You're like, okay, this is tomorrow's avocado. It's hard as a rock now. It'll be good tomorrow. Tomorrow, you wake up, you're like, it's an avocado toast kind of Sunday. And you just got that little give when you give a little squeeze, that little give. You're like, I'm there. You open it up, and it looks like, I don't know, looks like my French bulldog. Just full of speckles and dapples and stripes, and you're like, what happened? What happened between yesterday and today that this avocado has just, it looks, I know your pain.
I agree. I don't like the temperament of an avocado.
Oh, you're an anti-avo guy, huh? Anti-avo.
I actually do not like
avocados. Oh, the problems
people,
we have.
They love or hate avocados. I love avocados, but there's some people that are like, oh, the consistency. But you know what this all brings you to is when a car is overripe. And think the Chevrolet Camaro is past its sale date.
I guess it is.
They have announced that 2024, once again, the Camaro will be discontinued. And you guys know I'm a Chevy guy, but that car has just never done it for me. Yeah, the ZL1 was cool. You'd see them out. I've driven one. But it doesn't have the kick in the ass from the looks, from the handle. It didn't have anything that put it head and shoulders out above everyone else. It just didn't work. And I don't know why.
Agreed.
It was just kind of there. It was a silhouette. And I think they made a really big mistake, in my opinion, not bringing in, like Dodge did, something that kind of spoke to the older generations. Styling. So what do you guys think?
I've never been a fan of Camaro, so I'm done.
Well, you're un American. Okay. That's
I mean, I agree with you in that, you know, we drove a number of them. They're kind of fun to drive. It didn't like blow me away in any capacity. And I still kind of had the issue with that real thick, odd A pillar.
Yeah.
It's got the weird visibility issue with it, but it performed the ZL1 and stuff. It put down the numbers that it did. It just didn't catch on with people. I just don't think
it wasn't one of those cars that inspired you, that you looked and went, oh man, look at that thing. I could do this with it. And if you go back to the 80s, the IROC Camaro, you know, it wasn't the prettiest Camaro ever, but there was things you could do with it, and it had a kick-ass name, IROC, you know? I mean, and then from there, it started getting worse and worse. It just kept, you know, piling on. But
I've always liked the gauge cluster, you know, like I like the interior on those. Every time I look at them, I'm like, you know, it's actually a pretty decent interior. But true, I never liked the aesthetics of that car. I never drove one hard, so I can't comment much on the performance. But every time I drive up behind one too, I'm always like, the rear end of that car is so uninteresting to me, you know. And like you said, the ZL1 has some exceptions because it's thick, you know. But it never appealed to me.
I mean, I hate to see it go, but let's just face it. You do not see as many on the road as Mustangs or Dodges. I mean, not anywhere.
No, I see Dodge everywhere and Mustang, but Dodge has really made a presence. And I think that's really kicked it up.
They've done such a great job in the marketing, but talk about a platform that's long in the tooth. Like it's so overdue for an upgrade, but just the amount of money they pumped into like Fast and Furious movies and all sort of product placement stuff with that car, that it just kept resonating with people. And the Charger, the four-door, which isn't as good looking as the Challenger, but is more practical, outsells the Challenger like 2 or 3 to 1. It's like, it's still like both of those cars have just done tons.
But that's it right there, Matt. It is the car that the young dad can go, hey man, I got a family, I need a four-door, but I still can have balls under the hood, you know, and have some styling.
Listen, I mean, Goldberg is a great example of that, right? So we know he's a Dodge guy, and he was just out at the Roadkill Nights event.
Yeah.
And he's in Texas now, but before going to Texas, the TRX hadn't come out yet. So he was driving the Dodge cars. He had a number of Challengers and Chargers, but his daily driver, hands down, was the Charger wide body Hellcat Red Eye. Like that was just what he was putting all the miles on in that car. And picking up his kid from school and grabbing a few friends and throwing the bag in the trunk with the, you know, with the baseball gear and all that stuff. Like that was the car that he was just rolling around in all the time. Now that he's in Texas, he's got two TRXs, so that's a little bit more his style. But you're right that even with all the Challengers he had and still continues to get, Charger is what he's driving all the time.
Yeah, wow, because, you know, kids get out of hand, you flip that steering wheel, push them all to the side, and then you flip the steering wheel, you push them to the other side, and you go, now keep it down back there.
Well, if you remember when we did the Syracuse Nationals a while back, I had to stay a couple extra days because of scheduling on, there was no flights out. And so I rented that little Dodge, little four door, and drove it out into the country and just drove it for a couple of days. And I was really impressed. It was the first time I had kind of had some seat time in it. And I think that one was running about 400 horsepower, but it was fun. It was tight. It was precise. It was styling. It was handled well, drove well. That was really my only big Dodge experience.
Well, and Matt brought it up right here, is that Goldberg was over in Vegas. And unless you're under a rock or not a car person, you had to have heard about the drop by helicopter of the Dodge Demon 170. And jeez. I think Matt can lay down some specs on that for us, because that 1,025 horsepower, super fast, optional, street legal, and you can get an optional parachute.
Yeah,
is pretty damn cool.
So the car is cool. Like you said, so Roadkill Nights, the event that just happened in Las Vegas, sponsored by Dodge, they took it as an opportunity to unveil this car and all of what they called the last call cars. There were 7 cars in general, and just a combination of Chargers and Challengers and various trim specs. And the headliner was the Dodge Demon 170 that you're talking about, but they're still going to make 3,000 of those cars just because it's the big horsepower car. There are some limited edition packs that they're only making 300 of, right? So if you had an opportunity to even get on the list already of one of those.
It was kind of like a Kiss farewell tour, where it never ends.
It never really ends.
And then the merch to go with it.
Yes, and the merch to go with it.
Farewell tour or Stones. Yeah, any farewell tour.
Yeah.
So they get the audience out there on the drag strip. This helicopter flies over with the car hanging from it on a big steel plate. And it was funny because it was kind of off into the distance. And I found this out after the fact. It was off into the distance, so you wouldn't know what was happening. And as they were loading it up, they did it like a test run just like a couple days before or a day before, because everything was there. And the metal plate that the car was on with the car and the plate, it was too heavy. So they had to like immediately go out and like fabricate a new plate and figure out how to do it, because you can't just thin it out. It's like a 2-inch thick metal plate.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I guess you could start laser cutting giant holes into it to lighten it. Maybe that would do it. And so as they were about to debut the vehicle, and everyone's like, "Where's the helicopter? I think I hear it. I think I hear it." And it was delayed. It was because they were still loading the car onto the vehicle, like on the finalized plate, like. At least that's how I heard it. So they flew this thing over. They landed it down on the drag strip. They fired it up. They did a big burnout. There was pyrotechnics and all kinds of things going on. But yes, they're saying 1,025 horsepower on E85. And if you run pump gas, it's still 900 horsepower. Jeez. And it has been completely beefed up in every way to handle this kind of power. The drivetrain, half shafts, transmission, you know, the couplers on it, like everything has just been really beefed up to handle the kind of power. This is what's kind of interesting as well, is the Demon before came with the drag kit, right? Like you can get the skinny tires and the drag, the jack and the whole thing. And they were like, you know what? It's unsafe to drive the skinnies on the street. People do it, but it's kind of unsafe to do. And you just do it for the lighter weight, a little bit of the rolling resistance, reduced roll, but mostly the weight. So Dodge said, instead of doing the skinnies and the jack and the whole thing, is you can get the car with aluminum wheels, or you can get it with optional carbon fiber wheels. And the carbon fiber wheel in the front is enough of a weight reduction to almost match the skinnies. But the carbon fiber wheels are part of a lightweight package. That's a $12,000 option. And it's about 157 pound weight reduction, and includes like thinner carpets and less sound deadening material and the carbon fiber wheels and a number of things. So it's cool. It's interesting. They said it'll run 891s. It has an optional parachute. I think there's an optional cage you can put in it. Because when it came out,
well, if it's running 891s, it's got to have an NHRA track.
Okay, so yeah. I knew you were going to say that. So here's the deal: is the car under ideal conditions can run 891, and as soon as you hit under 9 seconds, they're going to kick you off the track. So, is the car banned from tracks? No, because we don't know if you can run an 891 in that car, right?
Right.
The weather conditions, traction, whatever. Maybe you're running 930s, 920s, which is still fast as hell, and you're not going to get kicked off the track, right? I'm not saying that's safe, but I'm just saying.
Anything under, I mean, come on, let's face it. Anything under 10 seconds in a quarter mile is more than a lot of people can handle.
Yeah.
Anything under 11 seconds is fast.
Yeah.
Like some of these cars that we've driven, that incredibly fast, amazing supercars that you're like, oh, this thing runs 11.10s or 11.20s in the quarter mile. And you're like, yeah, this thing is fast, right? So when they do the 0-60 testing on the car, what they mean is on the drag strip, and it comes with Mickey Thompson. It comes with Mickey Thompson drag rails on it. So whatever, I don't know, the 0-60 is like 2.6 seconds or something like that or whatever, because it's just in a wheel stands and just pulls like a banshee. So they beef
pulls
up
like
things.
A demon.
Yeah, it pulls like a yeah.
Right? They beefed up things in the engine, head studs, things like that. They were able to get more boost out of the supercharger. I think the Hellcat Red Eye is about 9 pounds of boost, 8 point something. And I think they're getting like 13.9. So they're getting quite a bit more. But
I got to be honest, I wish I had a bunch of money to throw away, because I would buy one. I
would
love
buy
that
one
car.
Too.
It is so
I'm not
cool.
a muscle car guy. I would so buy one.
That one is just, I would get it with the optional parachute. I would
just get it every option. Yeah, you got to get it with every option.
And did you see the one that they drove at the Roadkill Nights, what the serial number on the dash was?
I didn't see the serial number, no, but
it's 6666.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so if you bought a 2018 Demon, which was limited production as well, and you managed to get an order in for the new Demon, you have the option to getting the same serial number.
Oh, oh wow, that's cool. Get
matching ones.
Yeah.
As soon as the announcement was made, there were people there at the event calling all the dealers they knew to try to get it. If they even got an allotment, because the dealers don't even really know,
right?
$50,000 to $100,000 over mark, over stickers, whoa, what they were asking for,
I heard that.
Which is kind of silly, right?
Come on, man.
We've got thoughts on that, but... yeah, so Goldberg went out there. He was invited by Dodge. And you know, he got a VIP treatment. They went out to a dinner that night with a bunch of the executives, and they invited out some of the real kind of hardcore Dodge guys. Goldberg was there, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, he's a big Dodge guy, great musician, mm-hmm. He's great there. Jay Leno was invited as well, and Goldberg and Leno had a great conversation with Kenny Wayne and Goldberg, and you know, Bill's like, oh man, this is a, you know, great event, you know, Jay, it's so great to see you, and that fire was ridiculous. He's like, fire? He's like, I've got three broken ribs just sitting here, because he had the motorcycle accident after that, right? Yeah. Goes, that's what hurts like hell. Yeah. And I was like, man, just I don't know if he's a trooper or he's just stubborn, but he's just powering through. He's had a hell of a couple of months.
Good for him. He's yeah.
But he was there. He looked like he was having fun. And it was funny because I'm friends with Kenny Wayne Shepherd and with Goldberg, and they were there side by side, and they were both like shooting Instagram videos, and you could hear each one of them talking in the background about the car going, where is it? I hear the helicopters. Like, this is gonna be sick. So it looked like they were having a great time. It seemed like a cool event. Sorry I missed it. Things have been jammed for me over here as we
make some changes. I couldn't go either. I was messaging with Freiberger and a friend of ours, Les Figueroa, Fixby, he has one of those a 392, right? A 392,
yeah, 392
Jeep. 392 Jeep. And I was messaging with David going, hey, you guys want the Jeep on the line? Is there time? Can we squeeze it in? And they put him on the track. He had 35s and all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, four high. And I don't think he turned, you know, great times, but it must have been pretty fun to see a full-on Jeep Rubicon 392 on the track.
Oh, and it sounds great. That Jeep sounds
sick.
Oh, yeah.
Sick. Oh,
so
yeah.
It'd be good. So here's this is something that actually Freiberger pointed out, I think, a little bit on social media, and I couldn't agree more. This is an incredible feat by Dodge to do this. I know it just sounds like, oh, it doesn't have the technology of a LaFerrari or P1, and it's incredibly fast. They They just did it in an old school way, just big supercharger, big cubic inches, beefed up everything with just, you know, like ARP studs and
immensely difficult.
Right.
People don't realize.
But they did it in a package that's 1,025 horsepower on E85 that is emissions legal and has air conditioning and a stereo. And like, you could drive this car, like an emissions legal package like this with just brute horsepower is a huge feat. Adding the horsepower is easy. Getting it tuned to blow clean is the issue.
It's crazy. And I mean, the fact that just getting a production car to run those kind of numbers is crazy. But then, as you said, street legal and emissions legal. And
yeah.
It's just incredible.
And these days, because the cars, everything is so integrated, especially with the infotainment system, when you get the lightweight package, back in the day, you can get radio delete. You can't do that because it's all programmed in the
wiring
control and the rev limiter and the two step, and it's all in there. So when you get the lightweight package, you get a lightweight stereo. I think it's just like four speakers and that's it. Or maybe it's even just two in the doors. No, I don't really know.
No sub.
No, you don't.
It's just a head unit and some earbuds.
Yeah, that's just so you can hear like your car play and be like,
I was just going to say, they just give you some headphones.
Yeah, they should just give you headphones. That would be great. Yeah, that's what they should do is just give you the helmet with the headphones in it and be like, that's how you do it.
Now, now exactly, Dodge is also looking at what's next. And right along the side of the strip there, they had that row of electric chargers. And I'm not talking about chargers for charging your car. Okay. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the cars. And I mean, because their next generation is all about electric and about performance on that end. And they're starting to push that because as these end, they've got to have what's next. And so it's going to be crazy.
That electric charger, it had a really long name, Banshee SRT EV Banshee.
You can't call it an electric charger. But he gets it.
So here's the problem with that is it came out and they're like, it's a charger and it's two door and it's got this great aero with this wing in the front and the air goes through it over the top and it makes all the sounds and you're like, okay. But
looks cool.
They also announced the Ram EV. And the concept truck was really cool. But then the production truck, which was shown in the Super Bowl commercial, is nothing like it. It's just a Ram that happens to be electric, right? Which the concept truck being so cool. So now everyone's like, yeah, this electric charger. I mean, it's cool, but it's not going to look that way. It's going to be a four-door. It's probably not going to have the cool aero wing thing in the front. And, you know, it's just not going to be the same at all. It's probably just going to look like whatever the next evolution of the charger is, but
okay,
kind of like what it is now.
I'm going to give us a scoop because, you know, I've got some friends who are automotive designers. I'm totally talking out of school here, but I won't say who told me. But I got to see some drawings and some video of the setups on the next one. And it is actually going to have that nose. It's actually going to have the 4-foot Daytona wing, and I'm totally full of shit. So. Everybody, you guys are all looking at me like, what? Hey, wouldn't that be cool? See one come out, man, in the showroom with the old wing, man, like the Daytona had. And that would just be badass. That would be cool.
Brad, I'm always only half listening to you anyway.
Especially if that's where they put the batteries and where you plugged it in. You plugged in the side of the wing, you know? That was...
Yeah.
But will the wing hold Christy Lee?
I got to say that, Matt, I think they're going to do something because they have not let us down with all these other things. I don't think they're going to just round the edges off and make it kind of a, you know, an EV. I mean, I think they got to do something big with
it. I mean, first of all, it's going to be a four-door. There's no, it still makes sense to have their Challenger and their Charger as a two-door and a four-door.
Yeah.
So that part will be lost. What we're kind of hoping is the Challenger actually looks like this EV Charger, and then the Charger can end up being sort of a four-door version of it. Because this concept car is pretty cool.
And while we're on EVs, there is so much talk right now about EVs. I'm going to kind of just turn here. Have you guys been following Ford and their losses? And they're not the only ones, but Ford this week, because they're in the news, $5 billion losses on top of a $3 billion loss, on top of a $2 billion loss, consecutive years. And people are really starting to question at the manufacturer level what we have said for a long time. Are we ready for electric vehicles yet? Are we really going to be able to pull this off? And, you know, we've talked about it since day one, but it's almost like corporate speak fooled themselves, you know? And, you know, now Ford has mounting losses, and the only ones who are really doing anything is Tesla. And as we look back, and this was an interesting fact, guys, you look back, and people were saying, well, Tesla is, you know, they're profiting. They've got 2/3 of the market. However, if you look back, Tesla, people forget. They think of Tesla when they started hearing about it. Tesla existed for 10 years and almost went out of business several times in those first 10 years before anybody really knew they were around. So it's, you know, this EV vehicle.
Their first Roadster was junk.
Oh, my God. I remember going to an event up in Santa Barbara, and they were like, drive the Tesla Roadster. It was Lotus Elan that was retrofitted or something like that.
Yeah, it was. But the software didn't work. Yeah. It was just a lot of issues. Someone I know that got one, just like, you know, when it came out, it got it, had it delivered, drove it around the block. It locked up, blue screen of death. Like, it just, he's just like, he walked back to his office. He's like, okay, you can come get it.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, we forget. We think of Tesla now, and they struggled and almost went out of business. And people forget that if he hadn't have gone public, Tesla probably would not exist right now, because they needed that infusion of cash to even just survive. And we're seeing it now. Look at all of the startups that are, you know, they're struggling. They've got to, and let's face it, electric cars are expensive for the average person. You know, they're not easy to buy. They're not easy to maintain. And they're not easy to plug in. I mean, it costs money. People always think, oh, yeah, you just plug it in, you know? But, yeah, you got to pay for that.
News or something that they announced, you know, more blackouts for California this summer. And, you know, it's like, really? It's like, what is this electric stuff? It ain't working out, guys. It's really annoying.
Yeah. lots of issues. The one we haven't talked about, other than about the EV vehicle, before we wrap up, because we're doing kind of a short version today, because we've all got places to be. Matt.
Yeah.
How have you got to physically be around a Bronco Raptor?
Yeah, I drove the Bronco Raptor.
Okay, I couldn't remember if you had or not.
Yeah,
I love the looks of it. It's the first one that actually looks like it's got balls. It's got those huge flares. It looks mean, but holy crap. If you put an order in last June, you were already looking at a $70,000 starting ticket. Now that they're coming out, they're saying that they're over 80 grand.
Yeah, it's kind of silly.
My buddy just came. Sorry, my internet screwed.
Kind of demonstrated it right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I really
he's locked up, but we're gonna keep going. What were you saying, Matt?
I'm stuck all over here.
Hey, he's gone.
I drove the Bronco Raptor. I thought it was a lot of fun.
And the dealer.
Hey, Aaron. We're not getting it, bud.
So annoying.
Sorry.
Killing me.
Killing me. So, Matt, you
just sit here in
Bronco
silence.
Raptor.
Okay, hold on, wait.
I'm listening to the show today.
Oh, there we go. Okay, now your buddy bought one and what?
I think you're back on, Aaron. Go ahead.
Aaron, try it again. Your buddy bought one and what? Okay, never mind on that.
Marked it up.
We're not going to. Just be quiet. Just be quiet and listen. Listen intently.
it's like right when he's not speaking, it unlocks.
I know.
And when he speaks, it locks up again. I don't know what's going on.
His voice is just too much for the weather.
It sounded like Aaron said he had a friend who had a $25,000 markup, which now seems like a bargain, I guess, for a markup, if that's the case. I'm not a fan of markups anyway, but that seems like a bargain of a markup if they're getting into that 80 range. But my issue with especially the markup portion of it is it's a cool off-road vehicle, the Bronco. But when you get into the Bronco, it's kind of an entry level vehicle, if you know what I mean, and can get optioned up to a few cooler things, but it's not starting off as something that is more on the luxury side. I mean, certainly a lot of plastic. I know there's been some issues with the soft top. Even the hard top still has a lot of noise and there's no real sound deadening. And, you know, and I guess I mean, I don't drive enough Jeeps to know how it really sort of compares to that. It just seems like Jeep has had a lot more time to figure out some of those issues, but different than, because I went from the Bronco Raptor to like the Ford F-150 Raptor R, you know, and you know, the F-150 that I'm driving, of course, my Lightning is super quiet, like between the those seats and the nice headliner and the sound deadening and everything, that it's a, you know, it's a really nice truck. And the Raptor kind of was similar to that. It's different than my Lightning Platinum, but the Raptor ended up being like a nice truck. And now I know it's a bit of a jump in price, but I don't know.
A bit. And this is the gripe, is that some of the option packages went from $150 to $1,200. That's not just a little. I mean, that's like, oh, you wanted this type of cloth in the car. It's $150. So you check that box. And then you come back in and it's like, oh, it's $1,200 now. I mean, if you did three or four option packages that all went up that much, I mean, that's a huge amount of money. That's not an accounting error. That's not a mistake. That's like, whoa, we screwed up. You know, I mean, that's huge. That's huge.
I can't even tell if Aaron's logged in anymore. it's just Aaron's face frozen.
Yeah.
If I poke him. Oh, wait, he just moved.
He moved. He's talking to Misha. He's saying, I'm lighted. But yeah, so we'll see.
I'm locked out.
I think it might limit buyers of the Raptor. I mean, because, you know, when you look at those kind of markups, there's always going to be the group that are going to buy no matter what. They want to have it. They're going to get it. They're going to be, you know, the first adopters.
Well, the question is, how much is a Bronco Raptor with a markup? And is the markup more than the markup on the F-150 Raptor, right? And now it's like, are they starting to get, you know what I'm saying? Like, if there's a $60,000 markup on the Raptor, but there's a $30,000 markup on the F-150, are we starting to get pretty close in price?
Yeah. And well, but when you're talking about a Bronco Raptor, that base price is in the 80s. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I've got to say, I think the 392 Jeep that we were talking about is expensive, because it's more expensive than that. You know, I mean, the base price on those 392 Jeeps is, actually, I've got it right here. With the Wrangler 392 now asking $84,290 after destination, you know, so it's another $5,000 base over the Bronco Raptor. So you've got, these are for the average person. They're really, because we look at things totally different here on this show. We look at what's out there, what's cool. But when you're looking at the guy who's got two kids, he's got a mortgage, and he wants to have that. Yeah, of course we all want it. But you've also got to look at how much is insurance, how much are plates. I mean, damn, here in California, we pay so much in taxes for our license plates. And it used to be, remember the old days when the longer you owned your vehicle, you'd go, oh, finally, my plates are decent. They don't do that anymore. They don't drop precipitously every year anymore. They kind of stay up there. So, but Aaron, what do you think? I don't know if he even heard us.
I don't know.
So, well, you know what? Aaron told me he has to get his art out to the framer, because he's got that that run that he's going on, and he's got to get that stuff out. I know Matt has a phone call in a couple minutes, and I've got an appointment too. So I think we're going to just say, we talked about Chevy, we talked about Ford, we talked about Dodge, and we talked about spoiled vegetables and fruit. So we got it covered, man.
All right, guys, check us out at shiftandsteer.com as always. And listen, if you're thirsty, pop on over to drinkbravago.com and order yourself some tasty beverages.
And if you're looking for Aaron, I'm going to speak for him. You can find him at Aaron Hagar, Rat Runner's Garage. But just, you know, just kind of put it in the old Google or the Bard, you know, AI, and you'll probably find him somewhere. And me, you can find at Bradley _ Fanshaw or over at Win Brad Stuff on Instagram. And, you know, I'll go along with Matt. You want to roll down the road, check out Bond Speed Wheels. And hey, everybody, till next week. Just keep thinking about what we said. Customize a car, drive something cool, and help think about the snow melting in Tahoe so that Aaron can get out of his driveway. So, all right, everybody. Thanks. And he just texted us and said, so frustrating. So he'll be back next week. This happens. It's happened to me. It's happened to Matt. All of us. It's the internet. But hey, thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.